My name is Gugu Elias, and in English, I'm known by Dan Lee Thompson, but my true name is Gugu Elias. I'm of the Bear Clan. I'm a mother, I'm a sister, and I'm a cousin, and I'm a grandmother to 13 grandchildren. And the first thing I'd like to know here is who Dr. Marianne Olson is. And you're an epidemiologist doctor for the EPA, Region 2?
I'm a human health risk assessor.
And how long have you had that job?
28 years.
Okay. And the next thing I'd like to know is who the Alcoa people are, if they could put their hands up. Well, first of all, what I want to say is that, number one, is that I have absolutely no faith in the EPA, none whatsoever. You failed the people at Always Austin. And how you did that was you allowed the corporations like Reynolds, that now belongs to Alcoa, General Motors, and the present day Alcoa West. You allowed them to pollute and destroy our water, our land, the minds of our children, the bodies of our women and our men, and the future. That's what you've done. The Environmental Protection Agency has stood by corporations more than they have stood by the people that they purport to represent. One study after another, the people, the EPA at Reynolds, what you do, you make it sound like you did a wonderful job, the EPA. You know what you did? If people get in their car and they go to Alcoa, you have dumps all over behind those trees. That poison mitigates. We live downriver from all those plants. And you come here and you have nice pictures and you give nice statements. And even this lady here, I think your name is
Yang
Cheng, is saying, giving signals to when Donald was talking. You have no right to do that. You're in our home. You have no right to say how long somebody can talk. Everybody has the right to speak.
No.
A long time ago on Cornwall Island, where Hilda Smoke said she grew up, all the cows start getting sick. And the people knew. They knew it came from across the river at Reynolds. Their cows start dying. They got fluorosis. What did Reynolds do? Did Reynolds do anything to help the people and the ones that are affected today? No. They didn't. So our people live with that legacy. The health facility of these communities is inundated. Inundated with all kinds of disease patterns that some of them have never heard of before. And it's called the magnification process. And the reason why I asked about Dr. Marianne Olson is because if you read all the fancy literature on their site, it says that they have people that come here, they do a risk assessment. They do all these things. Well, I never seen Marianne Olson in Always Austin. I don't know if any of you's ever seen her show up and ask your health and make an assessment here. Those things never happen. And unless you dig right in and try to understand this, they can sell you a nice story. And Alcoa, this is for you's at the table. The Business Wire posted that Alcoa anticipated they were going to make $5.56 billion. But they were so happy, they got an unexpected gain. They made $5.8 billion. And they have $1.4 billion cash on hand. So, to try to say and say that, oh, well, we're not gonna make our facility better if you don't agree with us. That's like a spoiled child. Your company did it. We're not against companies. We want to see people work, but we don't want to see that at the expense of our people, because that's what has happened. General Motors, Alcoa, and the former Reynolds plant, they poisoned and polluted everything here. Where do we get our water? The intakes for the community are on the St. Lawrence River. And those just happened not long ago. So when you come here, especially the EPA, when you come here and you're saying all these things, it's really not so. You're saying our preferred. In your system, you call it environmental justice. You've even created a whole language behind that. And what does that mean? That means environmental justice is that you polluted minority people. But you know what I call it? It's called environmental genocide. That's what you're doing to our people. Our people, there's a lot of our people, they're all running to fertility clinics. Because they want to have a baby. And they don't know what's wrong. And then they're fretting over, as some of them spoke, when this first studies happened about the PCBs. The United States government didn't ban it because it was the best thing on earth. They banned it because it was bad. That's why they banned it. Because it has a long-lasting life. And so, at the time when they did those studies for the breast milk, they said, well, to the woman, well, maybe for the bonding part, a lot of women said, I'm going to breastfeed. And one of the top doctors in this field, Dr. Carpenter, said, now that maybe was not the right decision to do. So, what the EPA should do, if they don't want to be part of the genocide process of our people? Our people have all kinds of cancer. We have children. No matter if Alcoa gave us $20 billion, we can never fix them. They will never be right. Their mind is wrong. And you people come parading here, and you bring fancy maps, and you bring papers, and you think you're going to tell us? No. We're going to tell you. If you don't start cleaning up, oh, we have this rod, we want this preferred treatment. You're agreeing already. You never even came here. You never even sent that woman, Dr. Marion Olson, she never showed up here. Did she do a risk assessment? Not only of the Alcoa plant, because she's two plants behind. For General Motors and Reynolds. She never did that. Where's the New York public health people? Did they come here? No. And the St. Regis Mohawk tribe? They have a health clinic. You want to know how much money they get from the federal government for health? Less than a federal prisoner. So, all these added costs for health of our people, is that our responsibility? Is that our responsibility? No, it's not. You know whose responsibility it is? It's the people that did the damage. Those are the ones to be responsible. And maybe what the EPA should do is they should hook up with Schumer, Senator Schumer. Because according to the PBS, he's one of the biggest senators in the United States government that can make money. He can get a lot of money. You want to know why? He can raise a lot of money. Because he goes to corporations like Alcoa. And maybe you should get him on your team so he can raise money to clean up what they've done. Our people, we cannot go anywhere else to go and get our people. We can't. I can't go to Holland. I can't go to Holland. And I can't go to France. So if you people don't clean it up, that's why it's called genocide. Because it's affecting seven generations ahead and of our ability of our people to bear children that are correct. So, just remember, if you ever come back here, because we had a lot of these meetings listening to all your stories. Now it even gets more interesting because you talk about, oh, you want to put a cap on the river in certain parts. Now you want to put armor on it. You're getting a little bit better because at General Motors you put plastic. You people have to do the responsible thing. And Alcoa and Messina, we're not against jobs. We're not against jobs. We're one of the most industrial people in this country. Our husbands, fathers, and grandfathers would travel 800 miles every week to go and work all across this country. So we like jobs. But we wouldn't want to have jobs that are going to forsake the future of our children. And that's the concept that you don't understand. You think that making all this stuff and making all this poison is all right? Well, maybe if you tried living in it. Obviously, do any of you live in Upper Zustin? I don't think so. You only look 7 seconds ahead for the market wire, the business wire, as far as how much money you're going to make. Well, our people are priceless. And they've been bombarded. And it's about time that you people that say you're the Environmental Protection Agency do what's right. But I'm not asking you to do what's right. Because if you have it in your heart how you were raised, what your parents taught you, you're going to do what's right. But right now, you're batting zero. Because you haven't done what's right for the people here. Our bodies are filled with PCBs. Where did that come from? 1254, 1248, 1232. Where did those PCBs come from? And there's only two known ways to extract them from your body. One is the breastfeeding of your child, and the other one is through semen. Is that a legacy, what some people talked about? That's not what we want. You have to understand that if you don't correct not just the Alcoa site, Reynolds, General Motors, and do what's right. If not, it's environmental genocide. You talk about Hitler. He did genocidal practices. That's what these companies have done to our people. Genocide. And as a grandmother, and I'm sure a lot of women in here, when you have a baby, it's a happy event. You're so happy you're going to have a baby, or your kids are going to have a baby. Everybody's happy. They can't wait for that baby to be born. But you know what? You people ruined that. Because now, when a baby's coming, Everybody is worried if that baby is going to be all right. And it's not nice to be there when a baby is born and you look at them and they're not right. And no amount of money is going to ever change them. And you people are responsible. That's genocide. So do what's right for once. You've been here not too long. And look what you've done to the earth. Now you even make a group that says you're there protecting. I don't think so. And if you don't want to clean it up, we got a lot of people at Ugly's Usnin that'll start cleaning it up. And when we talk about cleaning up, we don't mean taking it from the river and piling it on the land. No, that's not what we mean when we say a cleanup. A cleanup is to make sure that that poison never harms another human being or plant life form. And that means the company's being responsible to put it in a secured area where it's never going to harm anybody ever again. Not in an unlined pit. So that's what I'm telling you. If you don't want to clean it up, and you don't want to clean it up right, we got a lot of people that are going to start cleaning it up for you. Because we care about our future. And obviously, if you don't do what's right, you're part of the practice of genocide against our people.
Yeah.
Thank you. Number 18.
My name is Ganyet. I'll ask first, because I'm not here to make a comment. I'm here to serve you legally. So I'll ask you with your glasses on. You're the attorney? Just come stand beside me and accept the legal presentation and the command from the first law of the land, which is the clan mother Casas Omises, Bear Clan. This is our tribal customs and usage. When you hold on to that, it is legal. So from our nation to your nation that you represent, all these people here, Alcoa, you go back to your superiors and you tell them this message I will give you. The message is from the Casas Omises and our tribe, the Oglehona Signatory Tribe, which I represent. I am the head man. The difference is, there are different denominations of this community, but we all have one common denominator, our health, which has been affected by the three mentioned here, Alcoa, Reynolds, and Chevrolet. Our rivers. There was only one statement I have to say before I forget that I agree with. You mentioned your rivers. You forgot to mention our land. And the reason why I say it's our land is because original Indian title has never been extinguished. It's still intact, provided you're not under alienation, you're not under guardianship, you're not under severality, you're not under a warded estate, and you're not under prisoner of war status. All of that which I'm not. Those terms you might be familiar with, only because you're a lawyer. And when it comes to an Indian is held under by the thumb of the United States or New York State, by those terms I brought to your attention now. That I'm not under. I'm free. I'm sovereign. And it's this command that I will give you now, from the first law of the land. Use our rule by corpus juris secundum, second law to the land. The law I speak of is ancient. It's well over 3,500 years. 500 years in your constitution. In this part of the world. This command will read as such. I have to say one thing. I'm not here to ruffle feathers in regards to treatment or agreements that were made in the past. But those agreements do not bind me. And some of the agreements that were made were with some of the Indian people. But it's not legal because they are part of the corporation, which I am not. I'm not expatriated, I'm sovereign. That's what you need to take back to your leaders. It's from the Oklahoma Territory of the Signatory Tribe. 2, Environmental Protection Agency, Ariel Reels Building, 1200 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. Attention, Lisa Jackson. In the process of exercising our Oklahoma Signatory Tribal jurisdiction, we command, we don't ask, we don't suggest, we command, only because Indian title, legal title, has not been surrendered yet, legally. So we are in a position to command. We command you and your appropriate bureaucracy to immediately address the matter of aluminum, of the Aluminum Company of America, Alcoa, industrial poison to earth, people, and animals regarding the Grass River PCB contamination. We are referred to the Aluminum Company of America, Alcoa, and seeing a plant situated on the land within the territory of the Oklahoma Signatory Tribe in what is known to you as Messina, New York. Whatever the agreements of the past were between the federal, state, and autonomy Indian governments, you are hereby given legal notice that our tribal law supersedes all said agreements. Your government is commanded by the authority of Casas de Mises, Bear Clan Mother, to remove all contaminated land above, below the ground that constitute a threat to the health of our people, animals, plant life, and waters. Many of our peoples have been seriously affected due to the contaminants in the water, in the air, and the earth itself. So there is no need to issue monies to do studies that result in meaningless talks. Your proposed plan is unacceptable. Therefore, your government is hereby commanded to begin a total cleanup immediately. You are reminded that we are the signatory tribe of the ancient Oklahoma signatory tribe. Signatory tribe of an ancient Oklahoma Confederacy ruled by the first law of the land, and not an autonomy native government or corporate charter under your state or federal jurisdiction. You are ruled by corporate juris secundum, second law to the land. Respecting law, Daniel DeGale, Larry Thompson, Bear Clan, Headman. This is CC to Judith A. Enoch, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, New York State Department Environmental Conservation, New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York State Senator Charles Schumer, Aluminum Company of America, President Obama. A carbon copy was sent all to those people. As I indicated earlier, Indian title has not been legally extinguished. It's still alive, still well. Providing you have the right character. The Oklahoma Signatory Tribe has that right character. They're not dependent on the federal government nor New York State. They're as sovereign. That sovereignty that was before Columbus ever set foot here. You have 10 days to respond to that. Within that 10 days, if you don't, then we'll take it that you agree with everything that is said in there.
We'll send things back.
Thank you.
Thank you, number 19.
I warned you, Jan. And I said that when you come to our community, that you're not going to be welcomed with open arms. And you're going to hear a lot of different stories. I'd like to go on one that Mrs. Ransom said earlier about the PCBs seeping into racket. She mentioned the Thompsons. Well, my family came from there. And I had a lot of crazy jobs growing up here. And one of them was picking the nuggets over at that dump at GM. And we used to swim in the cove because nobody told us we shouldn't. And now, I have three sisters that took them a long time to have children. They probably had 20 miscarriages between all of them. You could take all their teeth out of their mouth and still not have enough to make a set of dentures. And when my gums start to bleed, which they probably will, and I don't have an answer for that. Because you can ask Larry and you can ask Paul. That we played in those areas. You know, remember the big tube that was in the ground near the Racket River, near the Whistle Bridge? We played in there. Nobody ever told us not to. And now, if you go down to the original families that were down Racket, every one of them has, somebody has cancer in their family. Every one of us have diabetes. Every one of us have somebody in our family that has thyroid problems. We have a lot of problems here. And it comes from the advancements of civilization. They promised us all kinds of economic development, and they said you guys are going to have jobs forever. Well, once we put up all the steel, and once we put up all the doors and the windows and the stairways, guess what? They laid us off. You can count on one hand, in the early days, how many Indian people worked in the plants. And you know what? Not one of them people are alive today. My grandfather worked in the plants. He died from colon cancer. I'm not saying that he got colon cancer from the plant, because probably can't determine if that was really what killed him. You're explaining the armor cap. What they didn't tell you is that it goes from T1 to T21, which is 2.1 miles. For the rest of the 5 miles, they're going to do a 12-inch layer of sand and whatever else they're going to put down there. Now, we know that when the ice scours the river bottom, and Henry can tell you a lot better than I could, that it has a mind of its own. It doesn't. It's not just going to touch the sand and say, "Oh, this is where we're going to go. We got to stop here." It has a mind and a spirit of its own. And what that the ice was intended to do before there was all this contamination was to do exactly that. Was to scour that bottom. And now, it's killing us. And I told you that this is not going to be acceptable to us. We were very disappointed in our last meeting. To the point where, you know, even that is not good enough. I have children at home, and they probably don't know what that means. But if I told them what it meant, their first reaction would be, well, that's not good enough. And we also know, everyone in here, that we will never be able to eat the fish safely. And look at us now. Look at us. We're all fat. Most of us are beautiful. Can't take that away from us. But we have all kinds of problems. I went to a diabetes extravaganza the other day. And that is a scary, ugly disease. When you lose feet and fingers, and you have open sores and wounds, that's scary. I got friends that I grew up with that have all kinds of problems. I grew up with that young woman right there, and I'm afraid what's going to happen to her children. Because it's probably going to happen to mine. And Dan Lee was right. There's no amount of money that you can give us. There's no amount of jobs that you can give us that can replace what happened to us. I'm not standing here asking you, you know, to do the good thing. I'm asking you to do the right thing. And that is to take that river and return it to the way it was. And as you're sitting back there, remember the time when they ate the fish. My grandma remembers the time when they used to cut the ice out, and that was their freezer. That they used to go to different parts. Remember that? You get the drinking water out of the St. Regis or the St. Lawrence River. You go to the St. Regis to get the water to do your clothes. I remember my grandmother kept the rain barrel, and she drank that. I remember as a little boy, she used to make us ice cream out of the snow in wintertime, because that's all we didn't know any better. These are not stories that are myths or that are legends. These are real. Larry has a good point. Don Lee has a good point. Everyone that came up here has a point. And that is, we are not satisfied with this. How can you be satisfied with a solution that is attached to a dollar figure? And Alcoa, you know, I hope you don't leave this region. But you're going to do what you have to do. Just like we have to do what we have to do to make sure that our people are safe. Dan Lee said about the health clinic. Well, we don't get enough money for that. And we supplement the health clinic. And you know what? Nobody gives us that money. We don't get reimbursed for that. We have children that are younger and younger that are got type 2 diabetes, juvenile diabetes, morbidly obese. You know why? It's not because that they like to eat. It's because of the food that we have to eat.
I know why, Ron. They're not eating the fish anymore.
Well, that's what my point is. You guys have taken away everything that we knew and replaced it with flour, with macaroni, with ragu. I mean, you can ask some of our young people in here, they don't even know how to can anymore. Because it's so much easier to go to Hannaford or Price Chopper or wherever you go to get your groceries. And that's what happened to our people. You ask a lot of young kids, they don't even like corn soup. You know why? Because it's not salty. You can't get it out of a can. And that's what happened to us. You know, Donald had some pretty good points. I don't understand half of them, but, you know, he's got a point. We're not here to, you know, say that if you don't do this, well, some of us are. I know Larry is. Well, we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to be criminalized in our own land for sticking up for something that we believe in. We have a beautiful park here. And it's not enough. We have places for our children to play. But it's not enough. You know why? Because they don't know how to play anymore. And that's probably our fault. But they know how to read. They know how to play video games. I bet you that half of them don't know how to weed a garden. You know why? Because we don't have gardens no more. That's a result of what happened to us. I mean, those guys sitting right there. They spent half their lives hanging steel. Did you have time to plant a garden, Roger? No, when you were ironworking? That you took care of? Okay. You're lucky. Because my father couldn't. You know. And in closing, I'd like to say that if that armor cap is the solution, then it should be the full 7.2 miles. If you're not going to dredge it, then you need to armor cap it. Because once it gets to the mouth of the St. Lawrence River, that's where the problem starts. And the problem ends with us. And that's not acceptable to us. Thank you.
Number 20. Dar al hastío.
Let's put it away.
I just want to say that everything that the women say, we have to back it up. This is one of the faces that you will see as one of your worst nightmares. That's all I have to say.
Yo.
Adahayando yugat oganasio.
A little child knows not to pour oil in water. When a little child pours oil in water, it gets cleaned up immediately. Not 50 years later, 60 years later. The substance was banned before I was even born. And now my third child's about to be born. I have to teach them to fish and to hunt. I'm an organic farmer. We try to do community farming projects because our people forgot how to farm. And one of the reasons they forgot how to farm was because this stuff has gotten into our community in pockets. And you can find it when you do soil testing. And it hasn't been cleaned up. Now, there's a bunch of issues going on. We have three plants who picked a really great place. Somehow these plants always end up next to Indian communities. But back then our people were weak, and now we're strong. Our people have learned to fight. And so this here is also our land. The Grass River is one of our rivers. It's one of the reasons Akwesasne is here. And these people, not these particular individuals here, didn't pour buckets of water in this land. But other people like them made this happen. And I know that if I go and take a dump in my neighbor's yard, I have to clean it up. And if I don't clean it up, well, I go to jail. It's funny how on an individual level, it works that way. But when it's a corporate person, it doesn't work that way. I want it put back the way it was, even if it makes the company go bankrupt. Let that be a lesson to other manufacturers, their competitors maybe, to do things in a way that won't cause oil to go into water. We practice organic farming and permaculture, and we know that we can make a nice little pretty picture like this. Look, sediment, sand, gravel, rocks. Nothing will go through that. But we know there's microorganisms that will go right through that, like it's not even there. And that's the cornerstone of all of our environmental systems. Little tiny things, you can't even see them. And something eats those. And something eats those. And we know PCBs bioaccumulate. So eventually, we get it. Either we get it through the fish we eat, or through something that eats them. Or a raccoon eats a shrew and dies in the middle of the woods, and a little bit of that stuff is in the middle of the woods. So I don't know how hard it is to dig that all out of there. But if it costs $1 billion, so be it. Maybe the next guy will be more careful. That's all I could say. Yeah.
Thank you. Number 22.
I'm not going to read my letter. I'm just going to take some things out because it's 9:45 and there's probably other people that have something more important to say. I've been involved in this whole contamination issue since our community discovered that we had contamination. I was part of MASH, Mohawks Agree on Safe Health, and that was when there was a lot of panic on Racket Point. And there were a lot of meetings held, and that was when we began to form an environmental department in our community. The panic, I don't think you can understand what that was like. People were afraid. They were afraid to plant. They were afraid to drink the water. They were afraid to go on the water line that was supplied to Racket Point because of the contamination. And people moved away from the river. And it's the strangest thing today when you take a boat and go down the river. You don't see people swimming. You don't see people enjoying the water. I live on Cornwall Island, and I live on the water. So I see a lot. But back then, we all knew that our community was going up against the wealthiest and the most powerful industries in the land. GM, at one time, was number one on the list. Alcoa is very wealthy. We knew that. We also knew that we probably wouldn't win because little guys finished last. Later on, we organized and called ourselves the Akwesasne Task Force on the Environment, and we had representatives from the three councils in our community and community members that wanted to participate in trying to get things cleaned up. Through this, a lot of studies began. They were sponsored by New York State Department of Health. There were federal grants. And the evidence began to unfold on the contaminants, their source, and the impact on the animals, plants, and our human health. New York State DEC and US EPA became involved as part of their fiduciary responsibility to Indians. The members of ATFE knew that we were in for the fight of our lives, and many of us would grow old and possibly die before we saw any results of our work. The evidence is there, the cleanup methods are there, and we're still arguing about how much to clean up and how to do it. The wealthiest and the most powerful industries continue to fight the environmental cleanup efforts that the people in Akwesasne want. We've seen over the years New York State and US EPA fold under the political pressure from these entities. You don't live here, we do. The people from Messina don't live here. They don't experience the level of contamination that we do. Our ancestors were trusting of the promises that were made by the state and federal governments to protect and promote our ability to live in peace and harmony with each other. As the USA rushed to secure lands in North America, we were pushed, starved, massacred, and relocated to the point of near extermination. What evolved in the land grab was a commitment of the US government to maintain a fiduciary responsibility for all Indians. And there's a quote from Dr. Priscilla Day's paper called American Indians and Social Policy. The trust doctrine includes duties to manage natural resources for the benefit of tribes and individual Indian landowners, and the federal government has in some cases been held liable for damage caused by mismanagement. There's a thing that you have in your government called the doctrine of trust responsibility. It's one of the most important concepts in Indian law. Between 1787 and 1871, when the U.S. entered into hundreds of treaties with tribes. In almost all of these, Indian tribes gave up land in exchange for promises made by the U.S. government. The Supreme Court has held that these exchanges created a trust relationship. The promises created a duty of protection toward Indians. The Indians trust the U.S. to fulfill the promises which were given in exchange for land. The federal government's obligation to honor this trust responsibility and fulfill its treaty commitments is known as its trust responsibility. U.S. EPA did not engage in this federal trust responsibility on behalf of the U.S. government when the GM sites of contamination were under study. We asked for full removal of all contaminants from the site. GM wanted minimal cleanup, and U.S. EPA folded on this. We at Akwesasne will live with their decision to leave contaminants on site and capped. The trust responsibility was broken. The U.S. EPA did not engage in this federal trust responsibility on behalf of the U.S. government when Reynolds Aluminum sites of contamination were under study. We again asked for full removal of all contaminants from the site. Reynolds Aluminum wanted minimal cleanup, and U.S. EPA folded on this. We at Akwesasne will live with your decision to leave contaminants on site and capped. And again, the trust responsibility was broken. Now we have Alcoa. It's an opportunity for you, EPA, to now fulfill your trust responsibility. We have trouble trusting the U.S., and you've heard that tonight. We expect the federal government to honor its obligation to this trust responsibility and to fulfill its treaty commitments, and as known as its trust responsibility. Alcoa and GM can bear the costs of cleanup, because after all, this is merely a cost of doing business. There will be tax cuts and there will be other financial compensations for this cost. It's a cost of doing business. They can bear the financial brunt of their industrial actions, but what will Akwesasne have? GM did not provide any financial compensation to us and fought any actions by our community to address the loss of our basic rights to hunt, fish, gather, and plant food for our families that is not laden with contaminants. Now our people face new life threatening illnesses that lawyers say cannot be directly linked to the specific contaminants existing in our environment. And you've heard some of those instances tonight. The burden of proof rests with us, people who do not have the financial resources to prove it. We have treaties with the U.S. government, but these treaties don't give us rights. They uphold our rights that we never relinquished. The right to govern ourselves, the right to religious and cultural freedom, the right to hunt, fish, and gather. They also obligate the U.S. and the U.S. EPA to fulfill their duty to protect us, the Mohawks of Akwesasne, our land, waters, animals and plants, and air from the industries that are attacking us. You can accomplish this by not folding this time to the political pressure and make Alcoa spend what it takes to remediate, to fully remediate, to remove all the contaminants and restore this to the pristine land and waters that it was prior to the contamination. My family, my children, my grandchildren, and all our future generations depend on you to fulfill your fiduciary responsibility. We're still here, our treaty rights still exist, and your obligations are still there. Thank you.
Number 23.
Lola Guizle of Guajo.
Well, I want to point out a couple of things that you guys left out here tonight. Is there any Canadians here? Well, it's like you Americans. You draw a line stick your ass on this side and you shit and the, all your garbage goes downriver. Downriver from Alcoa, there's about 2 to 4 million people drinking all that water that you guys are polluting every day. You still polluting it? And what about that big mound? I haven't heard nothing about that big mound of PCB that you guys are left over there. And I went to this meeting in Sonoma Desert down in Mexico, and the PCB that were banned in here in the States got taken down there and dumped all over the natives down there, all over their gardens. The babies came up, you know, mushy brains. And have you guys been down to our sister communities? We got Gunawaga over here downriver that you guys are polluting them too. You guys should take your game over there and meet with them people over there also. And meet with all the people down this river that you guys are polluting their drinking water. There's 4 to 6 million people that you guys are poisoning forever. Yeah, you guys should just close the plant, leave town, and leave our land. Go back to your own land. Isn't your land beautiful? Ain't France beautiful? Italy, England, ain't that beautiful land over there? Go over there and mess their land up. Thank you.
My name's Nettie Thompson. The DJ is my name. And I lived here all my life. I watched those factories grow along with me. The elders are gone, and they all died, passed on with cancer, thyroid, everything else that come with chemicals coming from the factories. This past year, I have a tumor in my kidney. And I went to this doctor in Canton or Potsdam. And his name is Dr. Bassini. And he told me he wanted to just cut it off, but he told me there was a kidney stone in there. And he says, well, I'll cut that off too. Then he says, well, if you do that, what's the chances of me going on dialysis? Because last year, my other kidney was gone. And I had that taken out last year. But I had to walk away from him. And just look for a second opinion. But as I walked downstairs in the lobby, I came out of the bathroom, and I looked on the wall. Lee, of course, was with me. And he says, look at this plaque on this wall. And right on top of it was these foundations. And the first one was Alcoa. And I said, well, this guy's not going to find me. I think you should think of our people better and get us some really good doctors. Because I'm not going to stop right there. I'm going to look for a doctor that will help me and cure this cancer that I have.
Kind of give you an outside look in. I have been doing a lot of traveling, I've went to a lot of tribes, I've met a lot of tribes, and I've noticed, well, not really noticed, but I know for sure that all these companies, they'll build upstream and to the west of you. And it causes a lot of problems. Before Nettie found out that she had the cancer and the tumor, we sat down and was talking, and I said, I've never been to a place that's had this much heart disease, this much cancer, kidney problems, thyroid, diabetes. I've never seen that before in my life. And it didn't take me but a day just to find out where it was coming from. I mean, the plants up there, this huge mound, it'll burn your eyes. It'll hurt the back of your throat like it did mine, because I'm not used to it. And but the people around here said that they were used to it. That's why it didn't affect it like it did me. But, Akwesasne, I mean, the people here, Alcoa and the lawyers, it's not their land. You know, so why would they really, care about what happens to your children? And they don't. So the best thing for them to do is, whenever I heard $300 million, I kind of laughed. I said, $300 million? That's what the company's worth. I mean, just the shares, stocks, everything. I said, who was it? The BP, they just now, they're having to pay $4.5 billion, and they're going to make that up in just contracts. It's not a big deal to them. Same thing with Alcoa. They'll make their money back. And $300 million is just like 30 cents. It's not any large amount of money. But just wanted to let everybody know that you have to take care of your own land like most of the people here are. A lot of people here in this room are leaders of the community. And they're all here. They're all speaking to everybody here. They're all letting you know how they feel. You've heard the songs. You heard them talk about the animals, the plants, the water, the land, everything. It's all part of us. And it's a direct reflection of what is happening to the land happens to us. And anything we do, anywhere we go, anywhere in the world, whatever happens in that area happens to the people. And the damage that's being done and has been done has been going on for quite a while. I'm sure the EPA, which did studies 20 years ago and started studies, knew this was happening. So the EPA is right there with them. And you just have to be awake and listen to what's happening. They'll tell you. They'll also tell you this Army captain would do something. It's not going to do much. Like Josh was saying, it's going to seep through. The water will move it. The ice will move it. And it will still come through. The only thing you can do is to divert the river. Let it dry out. Clean it up that way. Then come back. Then you use pipes or something like that. But to try to dredge it while the water's moving, just going to push it down here further to you, quicker to you. And it's going to expose it more to you and to your children. A lot of children I know don't even know really what's going on. So we have to educate the children with everything, even with the medicines. But that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
26, were you 26? 27? We have, I believe we're up to like 33, but anybody, we have six or seven more, but everybody's going to have a chance to talk, even if you don't have it signed up. So, 27, you ready? Or 26 or 27, if I missed you, sorry. You're 26.
Second, my name is Dr. Hawita. I can't repeat everything that has already been said, but I just want to let you all know that I support the option or proposal number 10. I want it out of here. I have little ones that I worry about. Tonight's been really emotional, listening to my leaders in my community, and I just want to let you know that I support this total cleanup of the river, because the land doesn't belong to me. I'm not a part of this land. I'm not an owner. Well, it belongs to my children, and it belongs to my grandchildren. And I'm tired. I am very tired of hearing these excuses. And I'm tired of worrying about my kids. I'm tired of worrying about my cousins. So, I'm not asking that it be a complete cleanup. I'm telling you is that it needs to be done. And this is coming, obviously, from my heart. So, I want a brighter future for my children. Of course, we all do. I'm sure you have grandchildren. I'm sure you have children. We all want a brighter future for all of our children, and we all want them to live a healthy life in their future. And what I see happening in this community scares me. I wonder if my sons are going to be able to have children, or if they're going to have to go, or maybe if their wives are going to have to run off to fertility clinics. My sons are fishermen already. From the day that they first cast that rod into the water, the lure into the water, they were hooked. And it's just proof that it's in us. Our livelihood is in the land. It's in our culture. It's in our traditions. And it scares me to lose it. So, I support the option number 10. My whole family does. My mother, my father, my sisters, my aunts, my grandmother, my entire clan supports the option number 10, and I hope he's do too. Thank you.
Twenty-seven. Twenty-eight. Twenty-nine.
My name is Darren Bonaparte, kind of a history buff here locally. I just want to thank my fellow Aquas Asolono. You made me real proud tonight. People spoke from the heart and even sang from the heart, and made me feel good. If I fall face first on the floor, it's only because I didn't eat supper. I wanted to be here, and I think I got Clorox poisoning earlier, and I was on the 401 for 4.5 hours today. So I'm not in my right mind, but I totally back up everything everybody said. I want the most thorough cleanup possible. I won't settle for anything less. And I really don't have a lot to offer other than a little bit of a little glimpse into our history. After the American Revolution, Great Britain kind of abandoned all her allies and said, "We're out of here. We had enough. America had it all. Bye." And then they drew a border on a map and said, "All right, this is British territory, that's American territory." That map did not have a little black dot for Akwesasne. They drew that line right through us. And then when they came to survey it, they said, "Oh, what's this Indian reservation here?" And they said, "Oh, don't worry about it. They'll be gone in no time. They'll fade away. Or they'll move west. But don't worry about it. Progress must go on." And so they drew their line, and when the Indians said, "What are you doing? What are all these people here?" They said, "Oh, this line doesn't apply to you. It's 8 feet tall. And no Indian will ever grow to be 8 feet tall." I doubt that. I think that's coming. "And it'll never affect the Indians. It comes up on the edge of the res and goes way up, and then it comes back down. It's meant for the white people." And we're like, "Oh, okay, that sounds good to us. You know, we'll be like the squirrels and all the fish. It doesn't apply to us. We'll just run and have a great time." Then all of a sudden we get word that, "Oh, they've just sold huge tracts of your land except 6 miles square around your village." So we sent runners to find out what that was all about, and they said, "You don't have a claim to this. There's other Indians that claim this land, and you're out of luck, chief." And then they said, you know, they went back over and over to get some justice. And finally they said, "Well, since we're good neighbors to you, we don't agree that you have any kind of claim whatsoever, but we'll agree to reserve that 6 mile square for you, and a little square in Messina and a little square in French Mills, now Fort Covington, and the Grass River Meadows leading to the little mile square in Messina, because our chiefs demanded that. They said, we still use that. If you're taking everything, well, at least give us this little bit more. So they said, all right, we'll talk to the people that we sold the land to, see if they're okay with it. And they were okay with it. And so we got extra little tracts. So I noticed as I'm looking at this map, there's something missing. There's no, the word Akwesasne does not appear on this map. Nowhere. You've got every other road. There's no Akwesasne anywhere.
That in the end of that blue river, in the smoky field.
Well, the federal government, in supporting Mohawk land claim, takes the position that the sale of those lands, because they did not have the proper federal approvals, are null and void. And they back Akwesasne up repeatedly throughout the land claims process till that basically dissolved around our feet. And so everybody's saying, well, that's all done with. Ha ha. We're home free now. No more land claims. Well, the underlying issues are still there. We still have a federal treaty that says that's all Akwesasne. The Grass River, Akwesasne. The meadows along the Grass River, Akwesasne. The mile square in Messina, which the plant is on, by the way. I don't know why you guys are still paying your taxes. That's the reservation territory.
Should be paying
that. No, you should be kicking them off. That's Akwesasne. It's time our leadership start acting like it's Akwesasne. You know? Stop calling it land claims area. Bullshit. Call it Akwesasne. It's shorter. It's easier to say. So, let's see that. And why was that river so important to us in the old days? If you follow that river way up past Canton, it comes to Indian Creek. And you go through Indian Creek, it leads to the Oswegatchie River. Oswegatchie River goes all the way to Ogdensburg. We had another settlement there called Oswegatchie or Sowegatchie. That's where a lot of the Snipe and Deer Clan people here in Akwesasne, I'm a Snipe Clan. There was a settlement of Onondagas that lived there. And that was the route to get to Oswegatchie, through that river, and then to go through the Indian Creek, then on to the other settlement. To come home, you go on the St. Lawrence, which is a much swifter current, but that was the easy route. That was the good hunting. And when they research the Grass River and the Racket River, they find all kinds of evidences of Aboriginal use of it, really extensively. And it's all been kind of covered up. You read the history of Messina, the books, a couple of books have been published recently. What does it say about the Indian history? Almost like two or three sentences at the most. They say, oh yeah, some Indian pointed out the springs, at Messina Springs, and said, oh, the mud smells bad. Wow. That's it? That's how we get? We're the landlords. I don't buy that one bit. I went to the Akwesasne the Messina Museum. Somebody said, oh, they have this really beautiful dugout canoe that somebody found on one of the rivers. Go take a look at it. So I go to the museum, looking around. All I see are Alcoa artifacts. Everything you can conceive of made of aluminum. All there. And I thought, wow, so where's the canoe? And I asked the lady working there. She says, well, let's go look in the basement. So we go looking in the basement. We find it piled up under boxes on a shelf in the dark. We're just whitewashed right out of that history. Like we never existed. Well, I'm sorry, but we exist. We're still here. We didn't fade away. We didn't move west. We stuck it out. We're still here. Still doing our duties. You saw that tonight. All the people that got up and speak. Wow. That was something else. I hope somebody was recording all that, because that was beautiful. And it makes me real proud to see our people fighting. When I pulled up here, I saw all these cars. I thought, well, it must be bingo night. We must be meeting in that small room. No, it's a good showing of our people. I should have expected that. I don't know why I didn't. They're all here, and they're all taking a stand, and they're not backing down. And I stand with them. Now, I don't often quote Dave Matthews' songs. He's got this song called Gravedigger. He says, Gravedigger, when I die, bury me just below the surface so that I can feel the rain. Well, in our teachings, when you die, they bury you so that you can return to the earth, so you can be part of that cycle of regeneration. And what that gentleman said earlier today, I've decided that I'm going to write a will that says I want to be cremated, if not incinerated, when I die. If I'm loaded up with PCBs, then I'm toxic waste. Just like that turtle they found that was so loaded with PCBs, they had to incinerate it. Couldn't bury it. Is that what our people are going to be? Just toxic waste? What a horrifying thought. So I'd like to see some recognition that you're talking about Akwesasne here. This is not, we're not just off the map. You know, this is really Akwesasne. And our people were able to scrounge that out of a really desperate time where we lost so much. And yet they fought, they held their ground. It wasn't much compared to the millions of acres that we used to control. And they got home and they got shit for it. People gave them flack, and their names are kind of in disrepute even to this day among some people. But they did the best they could. They got a little bit more. And so we have to fight for every last inch. You know, nobody's going to fight it for us. And our people are fighters. My last name is Bonaparte. I just found out not too long ago that the name we got that name because my ancestor, his name was John Cook. When he went to the Civil War to fight for America, they said, oh, put your old nickname down instead of Cook, because there's too many Cooks. You get confused, you might not get your pay. So they said, well, they used to call him Bonaparte because he used to fight a lot when he was a kid. So he signed his name John Bonaparte, and we've been Bonapartes ever since. Not because Napoleon came here and had kids. So, there's a lot of veterans that were here, and they've always fought for America. No matter what war, World War II, there's guys probably out there right now in Afghanistan and places. So we're not some little park safari or something of Indian people. We're among you. We're you. You know, we can't be taken out of this equation. We're your landlords, and we're going to start acting like it. Right, chiefs?
Yeah.
All right, I'd like to hear that. All right, thank you.
Number 30? 31? 32? I think that was it. Gentleman over here asked me first, and then I get...
34.
Oh, you have 34? I'm sorry. I saw 33 on the table, so you want to come up?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Been waiting for a long time.
Safe? You sure that's even safe? Hey.
Hello. Hi, guys. Glad to see you're all here. My name is Joe Hunza. That translates in English to she's debating. Now, I'm debating. It's very appropriate. I'm debating whether to be pissed off, whether to welcome y'all, whether to be cordial. But, you know, I lean mostly toward, I'm going to have to be truthful. I'm sitting here listening to everybody talk and share about their the history and the experiences of the stuff. And I never even took a really good look at the map, but yeah. Akwesasne, right? I don't even want to stop there with just this little tiny map. I want the whole, all of it. I was raised to be a proud Mohawk woman, a proud Ganyakahaga woman of the Barrack Land. I was raised to believe that I would be living healthy for seven generations, and that my children, my children's children, they would be chiefs, they would be clan mothers, they would hold a voice in this community. They'd be strong. I was raised to believe that I was, as a traditional person, that our culture would reign high, and that we were always to hold our head up and be proud, our heritage being such. I was taught, as long as that grass grows, you heard the Johnny Cash song, and the river flows and wind blows, sun shines, all of that wonderful stuff. As long as that goes, as long as there's one last Native, one we who are left alive, we hold entitled deed to all the entire territory of North America. It doesn't stop right here with a little tiny map. What? Come on now, you don't live in a fairy tale land, huh? You don't believe in fairy tales so much, right? I think you believe it's going to be a fairy tale if you think we're going to swallow this line of crap. Excuse me, did I say crap out loud? What I want to say is that basically, let's get right down to it. I wanted 10 children. I want to be a strong mother here in the Ganyakahaga territory. After 4 children, every one of those children had respiratory problems. I was in school. I continued to get my education. And then he put me on the Remedial Action Plan Committee. What the hell? And I'm looking into this stuff and I'm learning more and more and more. And the next thing you know, the Syringes Mohawk tribe, they're going to put out this immunological study. We're going to go, we're going to test the people, we're going to test the women of childbearing age, we're going to test the blood, we're going to do all these tests, questionnaires, up the yin-yang. I'll tell you what, it was a lot of information. And then the test results, well, we'll get back to you. They did get back to me. You have 5.7 parts per billion in your blood. Say, what is an acceptable level? Can you tell me that? What is an acceptable level? I was, the people over here, the Racket River, I was the neighbor. I never even thought of this stuff. I never even thought of this stuff was going to come down. I never even thought about the watershed or the ecological system. I never even thought of that. All I wanted was to be a mother, take care of 10 beautiful children that I had planned to have. But after seeing 4, all of the trouble. And it's right in the immunological study. People have mentioned it. All of the side effects of all this wonderful stuff. Sure, everybody's mad. Sure, everybody's angry. Then I come to find out that I have cancer. Well, how did that happen? Well, you know, we looked into that, we traced it. You know, it's just one of those things that another... you ever hear of it when a person has the platter and he put all his stuff up on that platter? All the woes go on that platter and they're carrying that? You know, and it's bad enough growing up in this territory as a Native American woman and have to put up with all the looks. You know, the look when you come into a room. It's like a black man at the Ku Klux Klan convention. He's noticeable. So everybody turns and look. So I'm trying to put up with that. Okay, it's just because it's a different culture. I try to be understanding, try to be forgiving, try to be patient. You know, I had to put up all that, and then now this cup of tea is served to me? What the? And they want to take everything and just take it away because it's all cancer now? And they want to take it away? What about all my dreams? My hope for a future? What about my 10 children that I wanted? What? Who do I argue with? Who do I tell? Who do I complain to? I'm a damn good mother with the 4. With all of their medical problems. I wanted 6 more. I would have been a very capable mother. I'm a very strong mother. A very smart mother. And you know what? I went to go get educated in your world. I have triple master's degree. Well, what good is that to a woman that can't have the children? Where am I going to be happy? Where am I going to find the happiness? I learned all of your stuff. I learned all the politics. I learned what makes people tick. But you know what? All of that stuff, like they said before me, none of it is as important as having healthy children for 7 generations to come. And I'll never see that, because I'll probably be gone long before that. Oh, they said, we think we got it all. We think you're going to be okay. Okay, well, you look at it. I'm only a young woman, and I'm having hot flashes. Isn't that supposed to be like the older ladies? You know, isn't that supposed to be? But I'm only young, and I'm having these. And my doctor says, oh, you won't be able to lift any more than 5 pounds. I said, okay, for how long? He said, well, for the rest of your life. I said, excuse me, this is unacceptable. I'm a working woman. I'm a hard worker. Well, some call it workaholic. I think it's just an excuse because they want to be lazy. But to me, I'm a hardworking woman, and there's my life. There it goes. There goes my dreams. What the hell? I could never be president of the United States now. I don't think I'll live long enough. Hey, if you're going to all let everybody else in, why don't you open the gate? Let's make the Native American the president. Let's see how that comes down. You guys will probably never invite us to supper. You know what I mean? You and you. Hey, yeah. You know, and it's not so much like Native against non-Native. It's not that at all. We know you got to live somewhere. But you got to respect the home you live in. You can't come over and stick your flag in the middle of my living room and say, hello, I'm declaring this, you know, in the name of the queen or the king or somebody over there. That's a direct insult. And then you wonder why I was upset about that. Well, anyway, let's not get down to the small issues. The idea is you want to clean up that stuff. You want to do the good job. You want to try to do the right thing by the people. That's very admirable of you. And I wish you a lot of luck. And my prayers can go with you. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When it's going to come all the way down, when you talk about, you know, I'm going to let my Creator take care of that. Because I don't want to get even with you. I don't want to sue. I don't want to do none of that. I'm just going to let my Creator take care of that. And however He lets the chips lie, good luck, guys. It's a hard road. And I too would like to see nice clean water where I could drink again and not have to do the bottled water anymore. It's contaminating that earth again with that plastic, you know. Anyway, I think I've said enough now. You probably all want to lynch me now. But it's all right. I'm glad you're listening, and hopefully you heard me. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a card? Number? Gentleman over here.
I'll be short and sweet here. My name is Pat Phillips. Nobody touched on the aspect of where I'll go against their power from. And I just happen to be working for the New York Power Authority, going on 30 years. And I'm very much aware of the situation with how many megs of power you guys get as opposed to how much employment or employees you hire. I'm very much aware of that. In the future, I guess maybe it's next year, you folks are planning on to expand on $600 million worth in your plants over here. I'm not sure what that figures out to as far as the people you need to employ there. But I certainly hope before you do that, that you at least take a look at here what the damage has been done since the 50s here. I understand Messina Electric.
Messina Electric at one time was going to build a small 3 megawatt power plant down here 3 or 4 years ago. They never got their license. Maybe it's because of all the contamination in the water.
So with that being said, I think everybody else has talked about land claims and what we own. And some people maybe don't know that we actually own Barnard Island also as part of the land claim, which is the big power generating plant we have over here. In its charter, it says it's supposed to give power to Vermont, Massachusetts, and a big chunk of it goes to New York City. A small chunk of it stays up here for our use. I don't want to say our use. It's probably your use. You know, we don't ever see one. We've been fighting for a long time for a mere 9 megs of power. A mere 9 megs. You know, that's peanuts, according to the statistics we have over there. And I have a little booklet at home. It's a public power book regarding how much revenues it has made in the past year. And we can even get a part of that. But anyway, just in closing, just to keep you people on guard somewhat, we understand. I see you're moving your feet there a little bit, so I hope that doesn't mean anything. But anyway, you know, be aware that I'm very much aware of your situation with the power of them over there and what you folks need for power with your expansion coming up. And I hope the leadership takes a better lead role on this, you know, making sure that the people that live here might get 9 megs of power someday. I think we're asking for 15 megs. That was according to our 2003 agreement in the land claim settlement with the state. So thank you again.
Thank you. Does anyone else have, would like to make any comments or ask questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have one question for the State Department of Health. My question for the State Department of Health is this.
And it's this lady right here. You're with the New York State Department of Health, right? Why is it that our group Cancer Action New York has been in existence since January of 2000? And we started very early in that time asking the New York State Department of Health to warn the people of New York State, including the people here at Iverson in Messina, especially them, about the presence of all these chemicals, not just the PCBs, the presence of the PCBs and the flame retardants and the dioxins and all these chemicals in the animal fat that people have to buy in the supermarket because they can't fish anymore. They can't eat those fish because they're contaminated. So they have to buy that other stuff that is contaminated. Why is it that the New York State Department of Health still refuses to do any education on that, even in a place like this where you've heard about all this suffering, a huge amount of suffering? You know, why wouldn't it be the right thing to do to warn them about avoiding an avoidable health hazard? You know, what's up with that? Can you just explain?
What I would have to say about that is it's not regulated by the New York State Department of Health. It's not actually regulated by the New York State Department of Health, so I can't really speak to that specifically.
But it is regulated by the New York State Department of Health. They're responsible for protecting the public health. It's their basic mandate. How can she possibly say that they're not involved in warning people about avoidable health hazards? The whole idea of public health is, if there's a health hazard that's understood, you warn people about the health hazard so they can avoid the exposures. These people have had horrible exposures. Nettie has, you know, one kidney gone and is, you know, that was a problem. There's all this talk about heart disease and diabetes around here, 65% diabetes here, and the New York State Department of Health is not going to warn the people about the avoidable exposure of the POPs and the mainstream food supply. That is totally ridiculous. I think that is not true.
Can I let her just ask a question?
No, it was what we do in my bureau of the New York State Department of Health is we assist other agencies in investigating hazardous waste sites and the contaminants that are associated with it. And it is our goal to educate the community as to what possible potential exposures are associated with those sites. As far as what's in the grocery stores, the reason that I can't speak to that is that that's not regulated by us. The FDA is someone that does that. So, you know, we certainly do try to educate everyone about anything that we know about with exposures related to sites that are all around New York State.
It's not nothing to tell only that one little part of the story. That little part of the PCBs,
the PCBs in the Grass River, that's just always such a small part. And it's huge, too, but it is huge. But it's not as huge as the contamination of all the food with these chemicals because of all the use of the chemicals out of Michigan and the chemicals out in, you know, Alabama. You know, all the places where the PCBs were used, all the places where the dioxins were manufactured, making the Agent Orange from Vietnam, all those, that chemical use, all the flame retardants where they make them, all the Myrix and toxaphene and DDT, when you put that all together, that is so much bigger than just the PCBs in the Grass River. And these people have suffered the PCBs and the Grass River, so why don't they deserve to know about the whole story? You know, the major part of the harm that's sitting there right in the hematome, and it's caused by this disease. You know, that's my point. And sure, your particular division doesn't have the responsibility, but certainly Commissioner Shaw, Commissioner Nirav Shaw, MD, Commissioner of New York State Department of Health, his mandate is to protect the health of people in New York State, and it's his job to warn the people of Messina, people of Akwesasne, me, you know, and everybody that's a resident of New York State about that avoidable health hazard. When there's all these other health hazards that they can't really avoid. They got to breathe here. They got to breathe the PCBs that are coming from the wind, you know, from upwind there at Alcoa and former Reynolds, the Alcoa East now, and the GM. They got to breathe that. They can't stop breathing, but Dr. Shaw with the New York State Department of Health, he could just say, look, you don't have to eat that animal fat. You don't have to eat that animal fat from the supermarket that's got PCBs and dioxins and flame retardants in it. And if the World Health Organization is saying it's contaminated to the extent that kids should eat it, well, why should the kids of Akwesasne know that? Why shouldn't the kids be told by Commissioner Shaw that they should not be eating the animal fat that's present in the world because of all the total use of PCBs? Not just Alcoa, not just GM, not just GE, you know, down the Hudson River. The total use of all those chemicals, that's what matters. That's what people get exposed to when they're eating.
I think I have a feeling we could talk probably for hours on this. So
you sure could.
Is there one more comment, sir?
I got two questions. I don't know who can answer this, but it's open to one of you. When you push a zip code, say like Hogansburg, New York, or Roosevelt Town, to find out what the cancer rate is in that area, it don't come up. But if you push a zip code anywhere else in New York State, it'll tell you how many people in the area have cancer. Anybody can answer why it is like that? It ain't on the internet, it ain't nowhere.
Are you speaking about on the New York State Department of Health website where there's a cancer surveillance maps that were up a few years back by ZIPCO?
Yeah.
Right. That basically, there's a cancer registry that is maintained by the New York State Department of Health. And when there is a cancer diagnosis, the hospital reports that to the cancer registry and reports the results, the location of the person who is diagnosed, and to protect the confidentiality of the people who have been diagnosed with cancer, it's gone to zip code level because we've
I don't want to know the names. I just want to know the numbers.
Right. And I can't speak to the specific. You said there's nothing on Hogansburg. Well, what I'll do is I'll take a look at that and I'll speak to the people that are in my bureau or not my bureau, but to try to answer your question a little bit better. Let me give you my card so we can discuss.
One more question, probably to Alcoa. I used to go there at the dump in that area on the south side of the plant. My question is, this big mound, does that have an underlining on it?
Kind of a General Motors or Alcoa?
Alcoa. Well, Reynolds, formerly Reynolds. Where the gate is, where you go into the back of the building, if you were coming out, it'd be to your left. And then you had another dump, kind of straight to your right a little bit.
There's
three
sites.
There's
three sites. Which one would happen
well? A and B. And then the highway would be just further south. My question is, does that big mound or any of them have a underlining?
At the Messina East plant, it's set on clay.
Pardon?
At the Messina East plant, the landfill is on clay.
That Reynolds?
Yes.
It's on what?
Clay.
Clay. So there's no lining other than clay.
It's a clay line.
Is that the norm?
It was what was designed and permitted for that particular land.
Doesn't clay break down after a while? EPA can answer that. You clay breaks down after a while, right?
I can't really answer that question. And also the Reynolds site, the landfill at the Reynolds site, don't have details regarding that.
Could you find out?
Sure.
How long ago?
You want to know if the landfill that's at the old rental
any of the three
has a liner.
Yeah, protective liner.
I know that the landfill that was constructed that will need to be expanded for any amount that's dredged out of the Grass River site, the landfill that's there currently at the Alcoa West plant, that was built to cope to TSCA. And I believe
it's
that was permitted.
We're talking about rentals only.
Oh, okay. I thought you just said three sites. I'm sorry. The other site, the rental site, I don't have the information, but I will get you the information and I will respond to your question.
Because the command would go in that direction too, to remove all that. If there's three mounds there, then three mounds. And there'll be a bill coming to Alcoa and Reynolds with regard to rent from the landlords. You just have to sit down and calculate as to what it cost you to initially put the buildings up, how much profit is made from beginning that time till today. So we have to talk about the past, present, and the future. Both of Messina, halfway back to the reservation that you are currently on Indian land. And I can prove that. Well, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's still under Indian title, original Indian title. So we need to sit down and I'll give you the documentation, provide that for you, and you will see that it is still on Indian land, which brings EPA to enforce what we're telling you, to obey the command. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for coming. Thanks.